If you're in business, you probably have a website, but can your site handle your growth? How many visitors before your site slows down or crashes? What about storage and data security? From web hosting to virtual servers, Pear Networks provides the online infrastructure you need to start, grow, and flourish. When it comes to security and updates, don't worry, we've got you covered. Our 24/7 US-based customer support is the best in the industry. No frustrating chatbots or sitting on hold for hours. Check out pear.com today to learn more. That's PAIR.com.
Welcome to the Simple Sophisticate Podcast, where intelligent living is paired with signature style. I'm your host, Shannon Abels. And whether you're listening on your commute, exercising, working in the garden, or sitting down with a hot cup of tea or a cafe au lait, thank you for tuning in. Let's get started. Welcome to the 38th episode of The Simple Sophisticate. Today, we are finishing up a three-part series that we started back in March. You may remember in episode 30, we talked about cell phone etiquette or mastering our cell phones, being able to take care and use it as a way to grow our relationships and foster them rather than to be controlled by all those dings and pings and notifications. And then in April, in episode 34, we talked about email etiquette. So today, in the third and final episode of this particular series, we are wrapping it up and talking about texting, a very, very informal way of communicating, but a very helpful way of communicating if we do it right. So today, what I'd like to talk about are nine different ways to master our texting and making sure that we don't become overwhelmed by it or begin to build relationships without substance by using it. But before I jump into those nine do's and don'ts of texting, I want to give you a quick peek into what today's petit plaisir is. It is one of my favorite afternoon snacks, and it's simple, but it will provide an opportunity that will restore you so you can go back to the rest of your day and finish it strong. All right, let's get back to the third part in the Life in Text series, Texting Etiquette 101. Here we go. The simplicity and unobtrusive nature of texting are two of the reasons I do appreciate this form of communication. And in a way, it really is a new form of communication if we think about it. However, if we don't master or understand what texting can do, it can really become obtrusive and it really can actually weaken our relationships. The key is to understand the basics. Number one, how to use it. And when to use it so that it is the most efficient option. And then once we figure those two concepts out, it is up to us to use it selectively to, and this is key, to maintain relationships, not build them. And I'll talk about that in a second. And to use it when better forms of communication aren't possible. So for example, face-to-face or a phone call are just not feasible at that particular moment in time. Some examples of when you should use texting or when it's okay to use texting to maintain relationships, not build them. One of the ways I thoroughly enjoy texting is when I'm using texting to text my significant other, who I've already established a relationship with outside of that particular form of communication, to simply let them know I'm thinking of them. On the flip side, it's a wonderful thing to receive a text to give a little boost to the middle of a workday that's just kind of going, well, you know, so-so. Another example is texting someone when you are running late to ensure that they know you're actually on your way and you haven't forgotten that you're going to be meeting them. This is a simple gesture that simply conveys respect and thoughtfulness. So these are ways to maintain relationships, but you're not using texting to build them. Just as with emailing and using our cell phones, texting should be used to strengthen, not hinder, the quality way of life. Did you know that the Pew Research Center reported that in 2011, teenagers sent more than 3,200 texts a month, with 83% of adults carrying cell phones and 73% of those 83 sending and receiving texts? The study has, if nothing else, proven we rely heavily on this particular form of communication. So why not master it? Why not master it so we can improve our lives rather than ruin the quality of our relationships. Number one, let's talk about the recipients. Who should we text? Who should we not text? Especially when it comes to business. Any kind of business relationship should never start with this informal type of communication. Texting by nature is informal. And business by nature, for the most part, is always a formal communication style. So start with either face-to-face, email if you can't be face-to-face, or a phone call before you ever choose to use texting. Now, maybe you get to a point where you can absolutely text and it's easier and more efficient to do so. I know that when I was working with my contractor, once we had the initial basics covered, the what's going to happen and the contract signed, it was easiest for those little, where'd you leave the keys and how do I get in the house and where'd you put that particular, to do it via texting. It was much simpler than a phone call to interrupt each other's day. But that's the thing. You don't want to start with texting when it comes to a business relationship. You want to use it only when you know that it is appropriate and both people know and feel comfortable with that. Now, when it comes to personal relationships, it's going to completely vary. I mean, for example, with our family and friends, it's one of the best ways to quick and easily communicate basic information, so you don't interrupt their day, but also you are able to communicate and let them know what's going on so that you're constantly in the know if that's important. Now, when dating, this is another one. Yes, it's a personal relationship, but if we want to develop a quality relationship, it's key to build that relationship. Remember, we don't want to use texting to build a relationship, only to maintain it. So it's important that we actually create a quality relationship with face-to-face and then phone calls before we get into the whole texting back and forth. As I said earlier at the beginning of the episode, it's great to receive a text in the middle of the day from your loved one, but you've already created a relationship, so that means something. So it's not you building the relationship, it's just maintaining it. Now, the question that you need to ask yourself is when you are about to ready to send a text to that particular significant other or someone you're starting to date, ask yourself, am I relying on texting to build or maintain a relationship? And if the answer is the former, stop texting and start spending quality time with that person. If they'll make time for you and you make time for them, that says oodles. Texting doesn't really convey that. Texting does not convey that. So that's number one, determine who your recipients are, and that will determine whether or not you should be texting. Number two is response time. This is always a biggie. When should we be responding? How much time should we allow to pass? Should we allow any time to pass? There's so many different rules when it comes to this. And to be honest, I don't really stick to any except for the few I'm going to talk about here. The truth of the matter is that because texting is convenient to do on the sender's end, it doesn't really take into consideration where the receiver is at in their day. So we can't really know where they are, what's going on in their day. And we have to keep that in mind. That's imperative. Life, as we know, can be busy, can be chaotic, and unexpected things can happen. A common courtesy that I've actually seen, if the recipient doesn't respond within, say, 30 minutes, I've seen this done with me anyway, where I've sent a text and 5 or 6 hours have gone by. And when I finally get a text back, the person who I was already in a strong relationship basically just says, oh, I'm so sorry. I wasn't able to get to my cell phone, or I was out of cell phone range, or wherever the reason is they weren't able to get their cell phone, because they typically do respond pretty quickly. Just lets the initial sender know, hey, I would have responded if I could, but I couldn't. And it just keeps that healthy relationship. But that's, again, a gesture that's completely up to you. But it's something that if you're in a very close relationship, it may be a really good idea just to let them know, hey, I didn't mean to completely ignore you. I was busy and this was what was going on. But you don't have to share that information. Again, it's none of their business to share that. And again, it depends on the type of relationship you have with each other. So number two is really, again, up to you. However, number three is the big question, to respond or not to respond. When in doubt, always respond. If you are wanting to establish or have established a close relationship with the texter, have fun with your responses. Be open, playful. You might even write a little longer than normal. I am famous for writing chapters and books. I write forever. I just go on, and I'm trying to edit myself. But those are with people that I know I already have a really strong relationship with. I won't write a book to everyone. They may get the wrong idea, or they may really get to know me and I may not want them to. I don't know. Anyway, but the key is, if you want to continue to build a relationship, you don't want just one word answers. But if you are wanting to cut that communication short, or you want to be respectful, but you want to keep your boundaries up, then respond briefly. Thanks. Okay. Haha. Something that lets them know I got your text, but I need to go, or this is done. We don't want to go any further. It's not abrupt, but it's at least establishing boundaries. And I think that's huge with texting. Sometimes the boundaries are not clear. And by simply ignoring it, then the other person may never really know. However, speaking of not responding at all, if someone is texting you and you do not want to build a relationship with them, do not respond. This is the primary reason a non-response is absolutely acceptable. In other words, you're not playing games. Stringing someone along via text is childish, a waste of time and energy on both parties' parts. Remember that texting should be used for strengthening relationships and communication, not to tease or boost one's ego. So it may seem rude to not text at all, but if your goal is to basically say, hey, I know you, for whatever reason, want to keep communicating with me. And as I said, texting is a very informal, therefore somewhat intimate in a different kind of way. Then you need to be clear. I'm not okay with this. And if they're not getting the message, stopping texting is absolutely okay. So that's number three, to respond or not to respond. Number four is the grammar. And this is, as we know, communication via texting is very simple, but it's so simple that we can send a text so quickly and not see what the autocorrect did with our words. And I am going to blame it all on autocorrect. I know, you just have to go there, right? No, I mean, I obviously will misspell things and the autocorrect will have, you know, not take any part of it whatsoever. But there are also a lot of the times, and I think all of us can attest to this, where autocorrect just has some random corrections. You're like, what the heck? I have never written Gaza in any of my texts before. Why did you choose that? So have some fun with it. Be forgiving when you receive odd words. The thing that I like to do, especially if it's not an intimate relationship, but I want to make sure the receiver realizes I caught that error, I will quickly type back meant, and then I'll put in quotes the correct word. So they realize I did see that error. It was not intentional. And I want to make them aware that I caught it. I will briefly send a short text like that. I just boom, boom, boom. But if it repeatedly happens again and again from people that you're receiving texts from, you are going to not judge that person, but you're going to say, oh, this person doesn't know what they're writing. They don't know how to write proper English. So just make sure that when you do send a text, you read it one time, at least, if not two times, because it is a short text after all, to see exactly what your message says. And then sometimes it's hard to catch certain things, believe me. I am absolutely guilty of this one, big time. But when in doubt, spell check, and hopefully that autocorrect will be kept in check. So number four is grammar. Number five is put the phone down. Similar to using our cell phones, even though texting is much quieter, we need to refrain from doing so in certain situations, such as at the movie or at a meeting or at a performance, and especially while driving. And especially, I'm going to emphasize this double especially, when we're engaged in face-to-face conversation. Just as answering our cell phones when we are communicating with someone in real time is seen as showing where our clear priorities lie, so too is receiving and responding to a text. A few other do not text areas are really late at night or extremely early in the morning. Now, most of us have probably already put on our phones our do not disturb button. But if we haven't, receiving that ding late at night or early in the morning can just wake us up from the most blissful slumber. So don't be caught waking someone up. That is never a good thing. Never a good thing. If you must text, though, if you're with somebody or you're with a group of people and you must check your phone or text somebody, be willing to share who it is and what it's about. If you're not comfortable talking about what's going on, then that's when you leave your phone off or in your purse. It's a way of making sure that everyone feels included by telling them, oh, this is my friend so-and-so. I just want to check with her about how she did in the race this morning. I was thinking of her and I told her I was supporting her from afar. That's, you know, hey, it lets people know who you are and what one of your friends are doing. And if it's a casual conversation you're already having, it's probably completely fine. But if you're not comfortable sharing who this person is and what you're talking about, then it's best just to wait until after you have that lunch or that dinner or that drink or whatever with the person you're with in person. If it's about an emergency, here's another example of when it's okay to bring your phone out. If you know you'll probably be checking your phone throughout prior to sitting down, let them know that I'm going to be checking my phone. There's some, you know, tense things going on. There's some, it's an emergency, and I just need to have my phone on me. Please forgive me. I don't usually do this. Let them know. Again, it's clear communication, not only with our texting, but also in our face-to-face communications to let people know that they are our priority. But in this instance, something else is taking the top slot. So it's very similar to using our cell phones with regards to talking as it is texting. So just keep that in mind. So number five, put the phone down in particular situations. Before I get to the remaining four, I'd like to take a quick 1 minute intermission. We have some good ones to talk about, so do stay tuned. I'll see you in a bit. Welcome back. We have four more do's and don'ts to get to when it comes to texting etiquette 101. And number six is something to do with content. Now, the tone can often be misconstrued, as many of us know, when it comes to texting. If we haven't been texting this particular person very often, it's hard to figure out how they're really speaking. Sarcasm, for example, is so hard to read if you're not used to that sender or you've never spoken with them. You don't know how they speak. So be very careful with that. The key with content is to keep it short and keep it simple. For example, see you in 10 minutes or had a great time tonight. Thanks for meeting me. One way to view texting, and I saw this somewhere on the internet. I apologize. I don't know the source, but it's very, very simple. And I think a lot of us will agree to this. One way to view texting is if we are to use it effectively, it is to see it as a prelude or the follow-up to a conversation, not the conversation itself. Boom. I love this. That sums everything up. It brings into that point we talked about at the beginning of the episode where it's not about using texting to build relationships, but to maintain it. You're just using it to, hey, I'm coming, I'm going to be late. Or, hey, I'm early. Do you want to meet up for da-da-da before we get to go to the movie? Or afterwards, you know, letting them know you made it home safe. Or, again, thanking them for, you know, spending time with you. Whatever it is, it's a prelude or it's a follow-up, but it's not the actual conversation itself. Now, when it comes also to private and confidential, embarrassing, or sad news, do not text this information. Take the time to give it the attention it deserves. Texting should be for lighthearted, casual, and day-to-day communication rather than briefing someone on life-changing or highly confidential information. That, if it fell into the wrong hands, could be disastrous. Now, again, some of this stuff, if it's really exciting news and maybe you just can't because of your schedules, I have a very dear friend who our schedules are so busy that calling, I'll just never be able to reach her and her me. And so texting is an immediate way to share news. Now, if it was sad news, I would not text her, but I had some really good news recently with my move to Bend, and it was the only way I could communicate with her. And I wanted her to know quickly and before I posted it on the blog. And so I did use texting. So it really depends on your relationship, what works for your relationship. But if it is confidential information, you don't want someone else's eyes to see it, definitely keep it off the texting. So number six is content. Number seven, don't forget. And what I mean by this is that, say you're texting someone for the first time and they don't have your number stored or they've never been given your phone number, introduce yourself. Or if it's been a really long time and it's possible they may not have your number still or know or remember who you are, then introduce yourself in your text. So for example, hi, this is Shannon Abels, and then go into whatever it is you want to talk to them about. I have been on the receiving end of these kind of texts a few times, and I feel horrible because for whatever reason, I didn't save the address, and I did this once, my phone went kaplooey on me a few years ago and just ate a bunch of numbers, did not, for whatever reason, erased a bunch of them and just ticked me off, but I couldn't do anything about it. And so a few people that I did not want to lose their numbers, I had lost. And so when they texted me, I could not recognize the number. And it was such a generic comment or text, I couldn't discern who it was. And so I just had to, you know, honestly write back, who is this? My apologies. And I explained to them why. Now, I didn't feel bad saying that back, but a lot of people, they shouldn't be put into to those shoes. It's our responsibility to make the recipient feel comfortable when we text them. So if in doubt, just introduce who you are so it's clear. And even if they do have it saved, that's okay. That's you're covering your bases. That's all it is. You're just covering your bases. So the key is to avoid their being uncomfortable and you being clear in your communication. So number 7, don't forget to introduce yourself. Number 8 is emoticon or emoji, which to use. Now, there are tons of emojis out there. I mean, these are the visual pictures of the fireworks or the glass of champagne or the smiley faces. I mean, they're just doing all sorts of things. They're all these visual images. Now, the emoticons are the classic colon and right parenthesis, my favorite. I am so old school. This usage is entirely up to you, and whether to use them or not is entirely up to you. It really comes down to what your style of texting is. My mom even uses emojis and I do not. She is beating me to the punch on that one. And be honest with you, I have tried to use emojis, and besides the winking one and the smiling one, it takes me for days to find the precise one, you know? I mean, it's like looking for an image on a blog post. I want the exact precise image, and that takes so much time. I don't have time. Texting is supposed to be quick, but that's my approach to it. And everyone's going to do it a little differently, and it's going to be based on the relationship you have with the person you're texting. So have some fun with it. But now you know the difference. Emoticons are the simple punctuation marks, and emojis are all those lovely, fun images. Number 9, the last one. I want to talk about group texts. We've all probably been part of these group texts where a bunch of people are included and we all are getting some information or sharing some exciting news. If you are the sender, some things to keep in mind. If you are the sender of the text that's going out to a bunch of people, make sure that it's clear that it is a group text. Now, most people's cell phones or smartphones will indicate a different symbol letting us know that multiple people are receiving it. But just in case their phones don't, just make it very clear in your message that you're sending this to more than one person. No one wants to assume that it's just being sent to them and then they accidentally respond back and it responds to everybody and everybody learns some very private information. So just be very, very clear that it is a group text. If you are responding to the initial text, it's my experience that usually I want to just communicate with the person who sent me. I don't want to communicate with everybody. So I will just make a private text and just send back to the initial sender. However, if you want everyone to see your comments and it's like you're posting on a blog post or a Facebook page, then send back. Absolutely. Engage in this conversation, but only send one of those and keep it very short. Why? Depending on how many people are included in the group text, I mean, it could be up to 5, 10, 15 people. All of a sudden, you know, when you send yours back, that many phones are going to be going off. And if you're not the only one responding, but all those other 10, 15 people responding, that's how many dings, pings, and notification people are getting. And you know, that can be just plain annoying. So consider your response back. Keep it short and only do it once. All right, so we've wrapped up the 9 do's and don'ts when it comes to texting. Hopefully it's helped us navigate a little bit how to communicate effectively and to not misconstrue messages. So I think sometimes with texting, we can overanalyze what's being said, but if we keep it short and simple, if we consider the fact that it's only to be the foreword before we actually have a conversation and the follow-up afterward, then really there's very few instances in which it would be misunderstood. To receive a text from someone we love or to have a text arrive that concerns good news that we've been waiting to hear can send a boost of exhilaration running through us and instantly place a smile on our face. But to rely on texting to create this feeling is to give it way too much power. The gadgets that we welcome into our lives must be mastered by the one who pays the bills, us. While yes, it can be intimidating to call and speak directly or meet someone face to face, such interactions, if handled properly, hold so much more significance and value in both people's lives, whether it's business or personal. Our time, our attention speaks volumes. So choose your form of communication wisely. If you would like to catch up on the previous 2 parts of the Life in Text series, Go to podcast 30 for cell phone etiquette and podcast 34 for email etiquette. For today's show notes, go to thesimplyluxuriouslife.com/podcast38, and you'll have all the rundown of what we just talked about, as well as all the links as well. Now, stay tuned for this week's petite pleasure, a simple afternoon treat. Last Friday in the Simply Luxurious Life newsletter, I shared that one of my favorite things is the burst of energy I get in the morning. I love it. I'm more productive in the morning and I get more done as far as I'm thinking more clearly and I feel better about the work that's done in the morning. But when it comes to the afternoon or right after lunch, I feel this lull. And one of the things, and I've talked about this a few years ago, but I haven't talked about it in a while, so I thought I could share this. This petite pleasure is something that is a simple snack that you can compile within minutes. And for me, it just gives me a space to breathe, an opportunity to relax. And then I can go about the rest of my day with more of a clear head, maybe a bit more energy, and finish strong before I go to bed at night. And all it is simply a hot cup of tea, a few slices of Parmigiano Reggiano, so some really good cheese. If you don't want Parmesan, you can also choose any other cheese you want. And that's one of my favorite things, is to have good cheeses so I can pick them up and use prior to the dessert plate to clear our palates, or like this, an afternoon snack. I also have a few almonds. I like dry, so unsalted roasted almonds, but you can choose whichever ones you like. And then I like slices of apple or pear. And I usually just eat a half a pear or half of an apple. My favorites are Gala, but I'm not too particular about my pears. I love just that wet, crisp crunch that you get. And you have all those different textures. And there's just something very simple about this, but also very luxurious as well, because you're taking time out for yourself. So the next time that you're looking for a little afternoon pick-me-up, wherever you are, maybe you are at work, and I've done this before, where I actually pack those particular snacks and then I go make myself a cup of tea at work, and I will just kind of hang out at my desk for 15 minutes and maybe read, maybe not, maybe just sit there and close my eyes or whatever I need to do, just make sure I can put it off for a few minutes, because we need to take those times regularly throughout our day to rejuvenate ourselves. It's a necessity, I think, and I think the rest of the day will prove to be that much better. So I do hope you enjoy and take a little time for you. I hope you've enjoyed this week's Petit Plaisir, where each week ideas are shared to make the everyday all the more enjoyable. Tune in at the end of each Monday's podcast, where I'll recommend a book, a film, or a recipe, anything to offer insight into how to live simply luxuriously. A simple pleasure to satiate your sophisticated taste. Thank you for tuning in to the Simple Sophisticate podcast, where intelligent living is paired with signature style. For more ideas and inspiration throughout the week, stop by the blog, thesimplyluxuriouslife.com, or pick up the book, Choosing the Simply Luxurious Life, A Modern Woman's Guide. Until next Monday, I'm your host, Shannon Abels. Bonjour.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.